Mexico victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And when we talk about illusion, we could talk about, well, the New Hampshire vote. And here we have, you know, Obama going in with almost 4% percentage points over Hillary. And then coming out of the election, second to Hillary, Hillary wins there. And how could that be? Of course, what did the exit polls show? Well, they really didn't ask the right questions to determine it. And, of course, the thing is, could it possibly be that these electronic voting machines were rigged? And I think there's absolutely no question they were rigged. We know that they've rigged them before, and why shouldn't they rig them again? This is why they put in the electronic voting machines, so they could be rigged and so they could fix elections. And you remember when we had all that trouble down in Florida with the hanging chads, and day after day after day after day, we'd hear about those hanging chads, and what are you going to do about the hanging chads and the paper ballots and how inaccurate they are? And that was when, of course, they used the impetus to put in the electronic voting machines that could be specifically rigged to determine the outcome of the election. And as Joseph Stalin had said, it really doesn't matter how people vote. It's who counts the votes that's important. And I think that's what happened in New Hampshire. And what happened there just didn't make any logical sense. So if it doesn't make any logical sense, there has to be another explanation. Sort of like what happened over in the Persian Gulf just a few hours before George Bush arrived. Why suddenly a couple of four or five little Iranian speedboats were told challenged the mightiest naval armada in history. I mean, certainly America's naval capacity exceeds that of all the other nations in the world put together. So why would a couple of little Iranian speedboats logically try to take on the American Navy and even threaten them, saying, you're going to explode, we're coming after you, and all of the things we're told that they said? And why were the Iranians speaking in English so that we could understand them? Why weren't the Iranians speaking in Iranian? You know, this would be the logical thing. It's sort of like when you see these demonstrations that are put on over in Pakistan or something, and they've got all these big signs in English so that you can read them. But, of course, the average Pakistani can't read them. And you know this thing is all designed for the American public, and I suspect that if you think about logically, why would the Iranians wanted to challenge America? Do they want a war with the United States? And the answer would be, of course not. They know it would bring terrible suffering and destruction to their country, so why would they do that? And well, maybe they didn't do it, and maybe they did. But there has to be another agenda there, and that is, of course, to maintain this friction between Iran and the United States, which I believe is going to lead to a war sooner or later. And certainly we've had the National Intelligence report that came out, the National Intelligence Estimate, which says that Iran is no longer looking working on nuclear weapons. They've given up their program, but of course they could restart at any time. So basically, I believe that the administration is intent upon going to war with the Muslim world. I believe that's why we want our troops permanently stationed in Iraq. And this is the class of civilizations that Samuel Huntington had warned us against. But then Samuel Huntington came from the Council on Foreign Relations. I believe, of course, he's one of their boys. And his idea of the class of civilizations and a war between the West and the Muslim world would be the worst of all things that could happen. And I believe that that's exactly what's going to happen down the line. And probably Russia and China will be on the same side as the Muslim nations. We're facing very difficult and trying times. Well, we're going to be back in a moment or two. But remember, there has to be another explanation that isn't logical, and I think that, of course, is the spiritual aspect.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm a plastic surgeon, and I see a lot of people who come to my office for facelifts and collagen injections. But I want to tell you today about a product that I developed. It's called Night Skin, and it helps your skin look younger without needles, without acid peels, and without a facelift. In 12 hours, it will make your skin seem smoother. In 12 hours, it will stimulate collagen production. And in 12 hours, it will promote elastin growth in your skin. What does this all mean? Well, this is the stuff that makes your skin firm and healthy and helps you look younger. Night Skin is real, and the results are real. And it contains only proven ingredients that work to lighten age spots, smooth the skin, and help diminish the appearance of wrinkles. It's easy, and in 12 hours, you'll see it works. Try it risk-free today.
To order Night Skin risk-free, call 1-800-457-9914. Learn how to get a risk-free bottle by responding to this ad. Call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I suddenly find I probably not going to have a guest this hour. I don't know what happened to him. Good friend of mine, William Grigg, but we haven't been able to reach him, so we're just going to have open lines, and you're going to have to give me a call at 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have something you'd like to talk about, why give us a call? Because this is what talk radio is all about, and when the host doesn't have anything organized, why... We're in real trouble. Well, we were just talking about some of the unexplained things that are happening I think there has to be an explanation for what happened in New Hampshire, and I don't think that Hillary won the election. I think somebody rigged the vote, and I don't know what happened to Ron Paul's votes. We know that there were some of the Ron Paul's votes. Some of Ron Paul's votes just weren't counted. If you go up on the Internet, you'll find that. And, of course, what we really need to do is get Ron Paul to actually do a recount of the votes. This would be vitally important. To find out what really happened. And he's got the money to do it. I wish he would do it. Because, of course, why should we be out here working to get votes for him if they're not being counted? And I think that as we owe Ron Paul our support, I think he owes us his support, and he should call for a recount in New Hampshire. Well, we'll see what happens there. And then, of course, we were talking about the so-called attack or menacing of the American fleet by a couple of little Iranian speedboats. These weren't armed boats. These weren't boats that were carrying a lot of explosives. These were not military boats. They looked just like little speedboats. And, well, of course, they could certainly be out there. But I find it very, very difficult to believe that the Iranian government or the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is actually threatening the mighty American Navy. Of course, the Iranians claim that this was staged by the American government. And they've made this statement that these were not Iranian boats, that this was all staged, and maybe it was. We really don't know what happened, and since we're not there, it could have been staged, it could have been real, it could have been an accident, it could have been designed, as a stepping stone towards getting America to go to war with Iran. Well, anyway, we'd like to know what you think about that. 1-800-259-5791. And then, what do you think about the economy? What do you think about the fact that the housing market is still contracting, that the price of housing is all across America, and especially in areas like Phoenix and areas like Las Vegas and San Diego and Florida, that the price of houses is coming down and coming down dramatically. In fact, really what's happened is that in a lot of those areas, as they were putting in just whole new housing districts, why other developers were coming behind to put in commercial, shopping centers, things of that sort, and they were already underway before I think a lot of the developers realized that the housing developments weren't going to go in. So you've got these incompletely or completely finished commercial centers, shopping centers, and of course there are no businesses going in there. And most of this, of course, is actually built with borrowed money. And how long can the developers keep paying the interest on that? And of course, what happens is sooner or later the interest payments become so massive that they just have to walk away from it. And this is what happens and has happened time and again during these boom and bust cycles. Well, our telephone number, 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. But the housing prices are dropping. The price of commercial real estate is dropping. More and more people in the labor force that works in housing are being laid off. The finance companies and banks and hedge funds that have been investing in all this commercial and residential housing, they're laying off people. And more Americans are being laid off. And many of those who are getting new jobs are actually being given temporary jobs where they don't get any benefits at all, and they're making, just a little bit above minimum wage, or they're making minimum wage. And more Americans are going to be moving into a lower financial status. They're going to be moving away from the middle class down into the impoverished class. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what's happening over in Europe today. We had our friend Orlean Kula with us just yesterday, and she was talking about going to Europe and talking to the people over there. She speaks fluent German, as does her husband, and her husband's family lives over there. And as a direct result, certainly, of many of the same economic problems we have here, but largely in Germany because of the influence of the European market. and the fact that they've had to open their borders, and of course they now have a lot of people from the Eastern European countries, people who work for a fraction of what the Germans want. Why, of course, in the way of a salary, why the wage levels are going down over there. And then, of course, when they went into the euro currency, the mark lost half to two-thirds of its value. And so these people had worked all of their lives to save money. And, you know, they thought they had plenty of money to see them throughout the rest of their lives. Suddenly found that they're sitting there with money that's lost half to two-thirds of its value, and they're not able to take trips anymore. They're not even to maintain themselves in their homes. Many of them are having to move into public housing just to have a place to live. And the elderly people in Germany are becoming impoverished. Now, you're not reading about that here in America because it shows the definite problems that come with globalization. It shows the definite problems that come with the European Union. Well, they want to bring a North American Union here. And the last thing they want is for the American people to realize how this is going to impact on their lives. I mean, how many people would want to go into the North American Union if they knew that the Amero was going to devalue the value of their life savings? How many people would want to go into the North American Union if they realized that we were going to flood this country with laborers from Mexico who would work for half the salary that the average American does, and this is going to drive down the living standards of our country? And so they have to conceal from the American people the truth about what's happening in Europe, because exactly the same thing is going to happen here. Only it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen by intent. And we've often told our listeners, if you want to see the master plan, you've got to read the Earth Charter. And, of course, you can pull it down on the Internet, or you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And ask for a copy of the Earth Charter. But it's up on the Internet, or certainly it's in our syllabus on sustainable development. And point 10A talks about equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. You've heard me say it before, but you need to learn the terminology and you need to realize what that means. An equitable distribution of wealth within nations means that we're going to lower the living standards of the average American worker. Now, nobody would vote for anybody who was advocating something like that, and yet that's exactly what is happening today. That's what globalization is all about. And you're just beginning to see the first steps of lowering the living standards. Certainly you go into places, for instance, in Michigan, where the automotive industry is closing down, and you'll see people are really, of course, are moving into poverty. And there's certain areas, manufacturing areas, where the major industries have moved out of town and the people are really hurting financially. It hasn't hit here in California so much yet, and yet even here in California, we're going to have a $14 billion budget shortfall, and they're going to have to start laying off teachers and state employees and cutting back on all the money that they've been pouring out. Of course, they hope to maintain the economy here. If they can get the new bond issues through, they want to borrow $40 billion and spend it here in California. But, of course, somebody's got to pay those bonds off. They borrowed $40 billion last year. And even though that they'd borrowed $40 billion, we are still going to have a shortfall of $14 billion this year. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is making dramatic cuts. He's submitting a new budget with 10% of cut in education. And he's going to release 20,000 nonviolent criminals. And he's going to have state agencies all across the state cutting back. He's going to shut down one in five state parks. And all of these things are reasonable things to do faced with a budget shortfall of $14 billion. Of course, the teachers' union is furious. The prison guards' union is furious. And all of these people who work for the state are going to do everything they can to try to stop Schwarzenegger from doing what he has to do. But The thing about the state government is, they, unlike the federal government, they just can't print money. They can borrow money, and that's what the bonds are all about, but still that money's got to be paid back. Federal government can simply print money, borrow money, and with no idea of ever paying it back, and that's really what's happening. We're financing, well, we finance the Vietnamese War with borrowed money. Oh, we financed the first Gulf War with borrowed money. We're financing the current Gulf War with borrowed money. And this is what they do. They borrow the money rather than tax the people, because if you tax the people, they get mad at you. So the George Bush has a wonderful approach. He actually cuts taxes. He increases spending. He finances the war with borrowed money. But he doesn't worry about how this is ever going to get paid off. And, of course, what's going to happen is this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. And I hope it doesn't come tumbling down before he leaves office. Or maybe we should hope it does come tumbling down. Well, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I want to tell you about our plans at Genesis to take Ron Paul Revolution to the air. The Ron Paul Air Corps plans to put 100 banner flights above the American cities to get the message out about Ron Paul. By the end of December, we plan to be ready to fly in Iowa and have 50 cities covered by February 5th. In order to accomplish this project, we need your help. Come to RonPaulAirCorps.com and make a contribution. It costs approximately $400 per hour to fly, so we need your generous support. Please consider donating to the RonPaulAirCorps.com. As the ground troops canvass the neighborhoods, we plan to provide air support, drawing as much media as possible. Come to RonPaulAirCorps.com and make a contribution. That's RonPaulAircorps.com. Here's to freedom, the Constitution, and liberty. RonPaulAirCorps.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Now that we are in the midst of the presidential primaries, Republican candidate Ron Paul needs our support more than ever. Ron Paul stands for the issues that need to be addressed and not glossed over and forgotten like the globalist crowd being fielded. Unlike other candidates, Ron Paul takes a stand to follow what our forefathers envisioned America to be through the Constitution. Dr. Paul will restore sound money, eliminate the IRS, prevent the NAU, get us back to our constitutional roots, and guard our nation here at home by bringing home the troops. Show your support for Ron Paul today. Go to RonPaulStickers.com to find the latest Ron Paul promotional media to help promote our last hope for America. Yard signs, bumper stickers, window decals, buttons, car magnets, and much more. Support Ron Paul. Take the stand for the traditional values that America needs. Go to RonPaulStickers.com and help get the word out about Ron Paul. This is our chance, America. Stand up. Now is the time to act.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and I gave the wrong number just before we went off. The number to call, if you'd like to call us, is 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. But we've got a caller, and his name is Harvey, and he's from Florida. Hi, Harvey. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine.
Before we get started, or I get started, how is your health these days? You're sounding much better.
I'm getting better every day. My voice is stronger. I'm walking better. I'm exercising. And, I think I'm on the mend. I'm about a little over 2 months in surgery, and I'm really feeling great.
Well, that's terrific. We need you, Dr. Stan. You have to take care of yourself.
Well, we'll do the best we can. Anyway, my wife's doing a good job looking after me.
Well, that's terrific. We really do need you. You bring such important matters to the airways, and it's so important, the work that you're doing. And I don't think there's anybody out there that could do quite as good a job.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but we got a lot of good people out there, and we just need to support them all. But, of course, we need to support Radio Liberty, too. Well, what can we do for you today?
Well, the general idea behind what you're talking about with the economy, and as you said, it is actually by design. I heard a very disturbing piece on National Public Radio. I don't know how much you're aware of what they do, but they're basically a government operation.
Sure.
They pretend to be the voice of liberals, but they're really, I've had a producer from NPR admit to me privately that they're a government operation and they can't do anything contrary to the government's wishes. So the other day, I think it was, they have a show called Weekend Edition, a week ago Sunday. And they had this piece, and they plant stories that are government pieces. And this was a story about the children in our high schools, maybe junior high schools. And they were saying how wonderful it is that they're able to join the Homeland Security Brigade at an early age. This one girl was saying how cool it is, and the other boy was saying how cool it is that they could get into the Homeland Security business right from high school. You see, when they're bankrupting the country, and they have been doing it for quite a few years, starting with NAFTA, I believe, it's really been going downhill, all the jobs shipped overseas, the outsourcing of jobs to India and China.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are bankrupt. They'll take any job. So now they'll be willing to settle for the prison industrial complex, all the jobs that are there for the prisons, for the Homeland Security, the snoops, the future of our brown shirts. That's what they're training the youth to be, the future brown shirts. It is blatant. And this NPR goes out on every station across the country and around the world, you know.
Well, I think what we have to do is try to educate people to look to government as our forefathers did. And our forefathers feared government, because they knew that men were corruptible and governments made up of men, so you could never give them power because that power would always be misused. Now, we can care for our country, but that has nothing to do with trusting the officials who are in power. And we have the most wonderful form of government, but we need to get back to that, because that form of government limited the power of the government over the lives of the people so they could be free. And that's the message we need to get out. And we need to get that message out to the young people. And, Harvey, I think a lot of our young people are beginning to learn these things. In fact, it's fascinating to see how many young people are backing Ron Paul today, because he's the only one who talks about these concepts of liberty and freedom. Everybody else talks about, what the government can do for us. And I think a lot of the young people are a lot smarter than the older people. The young people realize that the government can't do anything for us because it doesn't have any money. And everything it does, it has to take the money away from us so it can give it back again and use that money to control us.
Well, they're making the people so desperate. I mean, this in this particular broadcast, and you could pull it up on the internet, the father told the daughter about this wonderful opportunity for her to be a government snoop. I mean, this is unbelievable to me. Of course, the colleges have been doing this for many, many years, but now they're working their way down in the grades. This
well,
is the best
I think
young people could hope for. And actually, as I travel around all the state of Florida, and I've listened to people's conversation, actually only one time, and that was about a month ago, did I hear a young person talking about anything important, like the kind of things that you talk about
sure.
on your show. So he must be a listener to you or Alex Jones. But that was one in the thousands and thousands of adults, seniors, young people that I ever heard talking about anything of substance that matters and what's really going on. Either they're so frightened or they're so brainwashed by the media. They have these programs throughout the media, not just National Public Radio, but they have broadcasts like 24 where they teach the children how to be future torturers of America. You know about that program?
Yeah, I know. It's an abomination. Well, anyway, don't get discouraged, Harvey. Our job is just to keep trying to educate people and you know, we're reaching more people all the time. I know through Radio Liberty why more and more people are listening here in this country, throughout the world. So don't get discouraged. I mean, our job is to do our best, and that's all we're required to do. God bless. Thanks so very much.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Tests from around the world have proven that today's foods do not provide the nutrition they did centuries ago. This is due to a depletion of minerals in soils where our plants grow. Therefore, it's advisable that all of us supplement our diet with additional minerals. Many mineral supplements that contain up to 18 minerals are available on the retail shelves everywhere in the world. After studying mineral depletion for 25 years, I believe the body needs many more than 18 minerals. That's the reason I promote Sizzling Minerals, an effervescent wafer that contains 75 minerals. Now, these 75 minerals are plant-derived minerals, the same kind that you obtain from fruits and vegetables. My name is Elmer Heinrich, president of U.S. Naturals, the company that produces Sizzling Minerals for customers in 48 countries. I invite you to learn more about these minerals by watching a 15-minute video on the Internet. Just log on to pureplantminerals.com. Again, that's pureplantminerals.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Dr. Stad, our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And we've got Icy, calling from Ohio. Hi, how are you today?
Oh, you know, pretty good. I'm hanging in there.
All
you
right.
Is, okay?
Is it pretty cool back there?
I've been inside all day. I got to go out here shortly. So, yeah,
all right, fine.
It's not too bad.
All right, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Just a comment. I think sometimes, you know, I talk about all this evil that's happening and this terrible tragedy that's happening to the country. There's a term. It's called ponerology, which is the dynamics of political evil. And I think that, you know, it'd be nice if they started teaching that course in colleges. You try to figure out I think part of the problem the American people have in understanding them is they don't understand this level of evil, and they can't understand the motivation for what that's about.
I agree with you.
And I think, you know, to use the term principalities and powers and to bring the spiritual dimensions of the battle, you know, puts people off. But I don't really think it can be explained apart from that. It's really a battle of dead versus living. And the walking dead right now seem to have gotten too strong of a foothold in this country. And the zombie crew, you know, they're going to have to be dethroned, hopefully. Maybe hopefully optimistic, but the word I like is ponerology. I came across that just studying, but I think psychology that would really, you know, people talk about Jung and Freud and all that. A great sociologist, really one called Dr. Ernest Becker, Denial of Death. I really recommend it. Anybody, I'm not going to explain what it's about, but he really explains the dynamics of evil and why this is upon us.
All right, well, of course, I think this is what happens when a country turns its back on God, too, and then evil has full reign, and right now it really does have full reign, there's no question. And our seminaries have been infiltrated, and many of our churches are, they're teaching a different gospel altogether, and they've changed the music and the message of the Christian church. But I agree with you. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, just one final thing here that... I have been listening, being homesick, and I listen to radio on the, they are getting close on this vote fraud thing.
Right.
And I think it's it's going to be a total turnaround.
Well, I hope the people understand that they rig our votes, that George Bush stole the election. However you feel about Bush and Kerry, I don't think there's a dime's worth of difference between them, but... I mean, I believe Kerry won the election, and Kerry refused to call for a recount in Ohio, even though he had $17 million in his coffers, and you have to ask why. And I think probably somebody gave him a call and said, you know, John, you just lay back there, and we'll help you out later, but don't you dare challenge the election in October in Ohio. Because we know, for instance, in one precinct, there were 180 people registered and 240 votes for George Bush, and that's pretty hard to come up with.
Well, people just can't believe the level of fraud that's occurring to them.
Amen.
On a lighter note, just I have these visions of the night, and a humorous note. I don't know whether you listen to Alex Jones or not, but I keep seeing Ron Paul in the White House, and Alex Jones is his press secretary.
Okay.
These visions usually come true, so I'm looking forward to that.
Let's hope it happens. God bless. Thanks so very much for calling, Icy. And let's go to Peter, who's calling from Los Angeles. And our telephone number again is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I would just like to focus some awareness on this National Health Information Network, the NHIN. Not many people know about it, but it is, if you've ever talked to your physician about electronic medical records, there's this big push right from the White House for a nationwide network of networks which would link basically every hospital, every state medical system. And it's all being funded with intelligence community money, It all comes right out of the National Security Agency. You can Google NHIN. There's a website dedicated, run by a nurse called barbclark.org. But if you go and investigate this, you see that the next wave of the invasion of your privacy is going to be the doctor's office, and the doctors are going to become the unwilling spies for the government, and all your medical records and private information is going to be funneled up to the supercomputers up in Maryland, and this is going to be used for tracking vaccinations and tracking people with different illnesses and blackmailing people and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And don't dare tell your doctor anything personal, because if you have, maybe you've had a venereal disease, maybe you're a woman has had an abortion, a voluntary abortion. But that'll all be known to everybody who wants to go through your medical records. It's just like undressing in public. And you go to the doctor's office now, and they ask you to sign this form on privacy, and as if somehow they're going to guard your privacy. But if you read it, what they do is suddenly they are opening your medical records to anybody in government who wants to look at them. And this, to me, is totally unconscionable. And I share your concern, Peter.
Exactly. In fact, you hit the nail right on the head. It puts physicians and nurses in a bad position to force this paper on people. It's called HIPAA. There is no teeth to HIPAA. No one's ever been prosecuted under HIPAA except one individual. But they give this false sense of security to the public, like, oh, we're going to guard your medical records. Once you sign that form, 4 million different credit agencies, banks, intelligence organizations, police organizations have access to your records. Now, once those records become electronic, it'll be worse. So I just wanted to point that out. If there's, this nurse has this website, barbclark.org, if anyone wants any more information about it. But it's called the NHIN, and it might be something to kind of keep track of, because once this is built, you know, the press of a button, and you'll be able to just scan and say, well, who all, you know.
What do you know?
Give me a list of everyone that's had vaccinations. Give me a list of everyone that's HIV. On and on and on. You just fill in the blank.
You know, Peter, they've collected the pictures. They've probably got your picture and the picture of most of the other people out there. They've bought them from the Department of Motor Vehicles in states all across the country. They've got your thumbprint, and they bought those. All that information has come from the Department of Motor Vehicles. Why are they putting this onto a national database? Why they want to fight Osama bin Laden, who's plotting how to take away our freedom over there in Pakistan. And so that's why we've got to have a dossier on every law-abiding American citizen. That's how we're going to fight Osama bin Laden. And, you know, the trouble is, a lot of people are going along with this. They honestly believe this is why they want the dossiers. No, they don't want the dossiers to fight Osama bin Laden. They want the dossiers so they can control the American people. And they want to know everything about you, not only everything about your health. They want to know everything you buy, and they can do that through your grocery cards. They can do that through your credit cards. You know, they want to know everything you have. I mean, basically, they want to compile information on the individual, just like they did in Hitler's Germany.
Yep, you got it. You got it. So God bless you. Keep up the great work. And thank you for allowing me the time to hit that issue. Thank you.
Point very well taken. Okay, let's go to, is it Glenn who's calling from California? Stan? Dan. Hey, Dan, how are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi. What part of California are you from?
Round Mountain, California, up by Lake Shasta.
Okay, well, it's good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment? Once again, let me get those numbers out. It's 800-259-5791. That's 800-259-5791. We've got Dan from up there, pretty close to Mount Shasta. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering if you saw the from the bridge of the destroyer, the video of the supposed attack of the Iranian Republican Guard that charged these giant ships. It looked like, besides not having a guy on a ski behind it, these are like ski boats.
I know.
And it reminds me of the Gulf of Tonkin incidents where the fishing boats attacked supposedly in the Gulf of Tonkin and started the war in Vietnam, where President Johnson committed so many more troops to Vietnam and got us in there big time.
Robert McNamara went before Congress and absolutely swore there was no question at all that Gulf of Tonkin incident occurred, and he was just plain lying. And so do we know that they're telling us the truth? I mean, they could make any sort of a video they want to and show it, and we think that we're seeing what happened. We don't know because we don't trust them.
Well, if you watch that video that's taken from that bridge, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Even if they even couldn't even put a torpedo on these things. I mean, maybe they're going to come up and shoot a 45 at a U.S. warship. I mean, this is ridiculous. Even if some Iranians out there are a little bit haywire just were showing off and, you know, trying to protagonize the Americans, it was absolutely no threat whatsoever. This thing is ridiculous.
Well, but you see, it was timed to coincide with the arrival of President Bush in Tel Aviv. It was timed, you know, to actually, you know, give the American people the idea that Iran is a threat and we got to rally behind our government because Iran is threatening the United States. And it's just, I agree with you, it just doesn't make sense. So if it doesn't make sense, there has to be another explanation. And whether this is going to be one of those things that's going to be used to justify going to war with Iran down the line, or whether they're just playing games with our mind and trying to scare us to death, I don't know what it was, but it looks to me like as phony as a $3 bill.
I agree with you, Stan. I love your program, and good luck with Ron Paul. And I think this election in New Hampshire is about as phony as the Gulf of Tonkin.
I agree with you totally, and I think we need to point out that they fix the elections. You can't trust these electronic voting machines. We've got to get back to paper ballots that you can count and that you can recount again.
Well, thank you for...
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, that was Glenn calling from up around Mount Shasta there in Northern California. And again, our telephone number is 800-259-5791. That's 800-259-5791. If you got a question, a comment, you agree, you disagree. And I think that a lot of our good Americans are beginning to question what's going on. And hey, this is something that hasn't happened before. We've always sort of tended to take, you know, what we're told as gospel, and most Americans believed in the Gulf of Tonkin incident. After all, why the Robert McNamara swore before Congress that there was no question this wasn't real, and a lot of people, you know, heard Colin Powell, who a lot of people respect, and there at the United Nations, he insisted that there was definite, absolute, uncontradictory evidence that there were, you know, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and that's why we had to invade. And President Bush insisted that there were weapons of mass destruction there that threatened the United States, and now we know that it was all a lie. Of course, we can go back through the years, and whether it would be the sinking of the battleship Maine, the sinking of the Lusitania in 1915, which somehow was used for a justification for going to war in 1917, and for drawing America into a senseless war where we lost 125,000 American soldiers in World War I, and then, of course, getting into World War II. And what most Americans don't know is that we were financing Adolf Hitler not only before, but during the war. And if you haven't actually read the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, we actually carry that book. And then there's Charles Hingham's excellent book, Trading with the Enemy. That's Trading with the Enemy, that gets more into how we were trading with them during the Second World War. And the German general. Who do we have calling from Idaho? Hey, Dean from Idaho. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, question or comment?
Well, yeah, a comment and then a question. It's a sort of a distinction to me on these weapons of mass destruction. It seems to me, and I'm sort of foggy on this, was not one of the reasons quoted, I know initially, was the fact that apparently Iran had not, Iraq had not adhered to the provisions of the truce in the first Gulf War. That is, that they had maintained more scuds and it seems to me they asked the inspectors to leave. They also apparently did have the chemicals and biologicals that we'd provided them. And my question is this: I wonder if you could explain. It's not clear to me what this thing with the euro, the economy based on the, you know, or that is these people trading in oil in euros or dollars and. And how does it interact there? In short, I guess Iran was...
The thing is that right now, the dollar is the reserve currency for the world, and the reason it's a reserve currency is everybody needs dollars because almost all the oil, at least until recently, was sold in dollars. So you had to have dollars to buy oil. As certainly other countries are beginning to turn against America, the value of our currency is falling, and certainly China has lost a couple of $100 billion by holding as many dollars as they are. Countries are trying to get out of the dollar, and once the euro is freely exchangeable for oil, why the dollar will lose its reserve status. Now, we've been able to prevent inflation in America. We can create all sorts of additional credit. We can spend a lot of money that we don't have. About 6% more we spend than we export. And we've been able to keep from getting inflation because we were the reserve currency and other countries were holding our currency. But once the dollar loses its reserve status and other countries begin dumping their dollars, that inflation is going to come home here. We've exported it to other countries, and then we're going to get all those dollars back, and we're going to have runaway inflation here, and there's going to be disastrous consequences. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah. In short, what you're saying, I don't quite understand why people, you know, will sell gold, but they're happy to exchange gold for dollars.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're doing that right now to make you think gold isn't important. But if I were you, I'd get all the gold I can, because one of these days, it's not going to be readily available.
You can't eat it.
They are running out of gold, and they're trying to keep the price down. I think it's about ready to go through the roof. God bless. We're out of time. Thanks for calling.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners of Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and as you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we got almost 60 outlets every week, and of course, we have to pay for a lot of this, and it gets pretty expensive. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, don't be bashful. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, because I'm firmly convinced the only way we're going to reach the vast majority of the American people is by radio, but we still have that opportunity, although we may have to pay to get on these stations. A lot of the stations are just on half an hour a week, but at least we have a voice there. And, of course, a lot of them are on every day, too. So the important thing is that if you'd like to be part of what we're doing, why, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or just simply subscribe to the newsletter. But our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. And then go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. And there, of course, you can listen to our programs live 9 hours a day, or at least nine on the replays. That we have our archive programs, we have our MP3 programs, we have our videos that are posted there, and we have our newsletters posted there, and read those newsletters. There's a lot of wisdom in them, and then if you need the documentation, we'll be glad to provide it for you. We need to convince you we're involved in a spiritual battle, and there are powerful spiritual forces that are energizing many of our leaders, whether they know it or not. Some of them do. Some of them have given themselves over to the dark side, and some of them are just influenced by the dark side. Why do I say that? Because that's exactly what the other side says. And if you read our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, we will simply quote from the writings of the people who are followers of Lucifer, who will tell you just what I just told you. So, and I believe that they're telling the truth here, because they don't think anybody is ever going to read their material or quote their material. They've been able to get away with this for a long period of time, but fortunately, we do have access to the material, and we make it available to you. Our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, the three of them together in a set, only $9.95, give you a tremendous insight into what's going on. And then, of course, you need to get our four tape set on the wisdom of Constance Cumby. We've got a four tape, a four CD set with her. We've also got her DVD on the emergence about the coming world leader. The coming world leader. We've got a great DVD called The Atlantis Connection. Now, Constance's DVD is called The Emergence, for the emergence of the world leader. Chris Pinto's DVD is called The Atlantis Connection, because you see, the secret societies have always intended that America would be the new Atlantis, not the old Atlantis, but the new Atlantis that would lead the world into the one world order, which is why we're fighting over in the Middle East, and why we're going to go to war with the Islamic world and probably with Russia and China. This is a long range plan. They figure that the American people won't want to give up their sovereignty until they've suffered a great deal. And just as after the First World War, the Europeans were willing to go into the League of Nations and give up their national sovereignty, but the Americans weren't. That's why we had to have a Second World War, and that's why we're going to have a Third World War. Understand that the ultimate goal, a new world order, a new world religion, a new world leader. So you need to get our material. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget about my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, with its DVD by that title. My talk on the forbidden secret. Somebody just ordered 10 of them today. The forbidden secret. I think it's well worthwhile having these and watching it. And there's a syllabus that goes with it. And then, of course, the four-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret. That's The Secret Behind the Secret. The four-tape set on the supernatural. The four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. And this woman was under satanic control for many, many years. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. We'll be right back.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, this is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, this afternoon, the views of our special guest, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And hi, Joel, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we are going to analyze this election today. It's just full of manipulation, deception, and even the possibility of voter fraud, and so it deserves a very extensive analysis.
All right, I'm glad you're going to cover that, because I have had an uneasy feeling that there was tremendous voter fraud there. We're not certain how Hillary could have overtaken Obama and passed him, if there's any credence at all to the polls that were taken ahead of time. So I'm really looking forward to your analysis.
You know, we live in a very fractured society that pits a few million ideologically savvy people against a growing flood of ill-informed voters whose ideas are easily manipulated by the media. You know, almost all voters are dissatisfied with the status quo, but often for the wrong reasons. The majority keeps being lured away by the promise of benefits as if that were the solution to the waning buying power of the dollar. And predictably, they always vote for change, but never get any change. And that's because we're rarely presented with a candidate who understands the totality of change is necessary. You know, with the exception of Ron Paul, when he emerges, someone who really understands the problem and proposes the inevitable tough solutions, he's labeled as a kook or an extremist, but mostly ignored. You know, about 2-5% of the nation is able to see through all of this, I believe. But as we found out in the New Hampshire primary, it's not enough to overtake the momentum of ignorance within the majority. The system is rigged for secrecy, in my opinion, and it takes advantage of most Americans' dependence upon the establishment media, public education, and conventional political theory to explain things. The typical voter I think, actually holds an almost infinite variety of ignorant and irrational ideas about both the causes and solutions to our national problems, and thus they become easy prey to the false solutions of media manipulation. We see these things have played out in New Hampshire, including some last-minute manipulation and voter fraud. And these are actually signs that the powers that be are having to scramble to keep real change out of the race. As it normally happens, if the establishment media does its job properly, meaning according to what their controllers want, if the power brokers have selected an electable candidate, and that's the problem with this time, because Giuliani, who was their heir apparent, really may not be electable. You know, that candidate's got to have name recognition, and they certainly gave him lots of name recognition by putting him out as Times Magazine's Man of the Year right after 9/11. And been promoting him ever since. Got to have some charisma, and they've got to be unprincipled enough to follow orders. So the election's usually a done deal by the time the early primaries are finished. That's not the case this time, however.
Okay, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Joel Skousen, and we're going to be back here in just a moment or two, and we'll be continuing along with this discussion of the analysis of what really happened in New Hampshire. And I don't think we've heard the full story at all, and I hope we haven't heard the end of it. I hope that we can keep alive in people's thoughts the fact that there's so much evidence that this election was rigged, and if we can't get a fair election, how can we have change? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and he's talking about the election in New Hampshire. And, of course, if you're on the Internet, you'll realize that there are a number of people who really believe that there were voting discrepancies. We know that there was at least one district where Ron Paul had 31 votes and they just didn't bother to count them. Well, we know there were other districts where people voted for Ron Paul and then, of course, when the vote count came out, there were no votes for him. So somebody was rigging the votes. We know, of course, that the electronic voting machines can be readily rigged. And we know, of course, that going into the election, Obama was going to be defeating Hillary Clinton and coming out of the election for some amazing way or mechanism why Hillary Clinton won the Democratic nomination. And, of course, serious questions about how John McCain, whose really campaign was just about finished, suddenly won the Republican nomination from New Hampshire. Well, anyway, I'm going to let Joel go ahead and talk about what's going on. And his point is the media is controlled in America, and people have to recognize that there are very, very few corporations that control 90-95% of the major media. And as a result, they control fairly well what the American people think and their emotional response. So you pick the story up there, Joel.
Well, in my analysis this week, concentrated mostly on media manipulation. And the reason I say that is because I think there's only a certain limit that you can manipulate the voting machines without throwing out so many red flags that, they risk discrediting the whole process. Because of exit polling, which is more accurate than these pre-polls are quite manipulated, as you know, by the way that you phrase the question, by who you call, what lists you use to call people, because as I've stated before, more and more people are on cell phones now which aren't on lists that get called for polling, and so you more and more get people who are still on landlines, which also equates to people who get most of their information from the establishment news media. But they wouldn't be trying as hard as they do to manipulate the public in the media, and there's been some very obvious examples. If they could simply flick a switch and get it all done through the electronic voting machines. So let me cover some of the vote fraud things. Obviously, there is the case of the town of Sutton in New Hampshire, the headquarters.
Hold that right there, please. We'll be back in just a moment with the other stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joel was talking about the town of Sutton, or the community of Sutton in New Hampshire, where there were, of course, no votes for Ron Paul, and then when people began looking into it, why, of course, there were, 31 votes for Ron Paul. They just forgot to put them down. Go ahead, pick the story up there, Joel.
Well, you know, we don't know the reason why they didn't get on, but we do know this, that the head clerk of New Hampshire did not admit error until they were forced to by people within their town who said that they had voted for Ron Paul and that zero votes were registered. And so the head clerk came out and admitted that there were 31 actual votes wrong, but has not admitted how or why they were left off the register. Now, interesting enough, this was a hand count district. This was not a Diebold machine vote count, whereby we might expect more fraud. Ron Paul supporters have made a call on the internet to everyone who voted in New Hampshire for Ron Paul to check their numbers on their town to make sure that there isn't something similar occurring. The town of Greenville, for example, had 144 votes and yet no votes for Ron Paul. Since he's getting from 8 to 10% around the state, you would expect at least one vote for him. So they're still searching for people and situations, and they're probably going to find one in the town of Greenville as it is. But once again, this is a hand tally one, not a Diebold. So if there is vote fraud, this is actual people in conspiracy with someone trying to deny Ron Paul. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, to try to get people to do something illegal, which subjects them to felony punishment if they should get caught. That's why they prefer to use the kind of manipulation that is possible with these Diebold machines. I'm going to talk about two aspects of this. One is the potential of preloading the machines. And then the other is the much less accurate charges about voter fraud that is based upon the fact that the Diebold machines show a significant percentage difference than the voting results from the hand count areas. Let's talk about the hacking potential first. This has been covered by Bev Harris, who runs Black Box Voting. They actually took a Diebold machine. They hired a programmer at random from the telephone book to come in and see if they could hack through the machine, and he showed how they could actually take one of the memory cards out and preload it with plus and minus votes for any number of candidates. And then when the voting totals come out, the totals are automatically adjusted according to the preloaded votes, either higher or lower than what is anticipated. Now, what's interesting about this is that this type of hack, and this really isn't a hack, this is something that has to be done by the people who have access to the memory cards, which are the companies which run the Diebold machines in any county. And so this implicitly requires, this isn't something like a telephone you can call in and hack into the machine. This is something which would have to show that there was collusion and conspiracy in the companies running these machines. And there have been charges that have been in past elections in 2004 in Ohio, for example, where they showed that this particular company threw the election in behalf of George Bush by manipulating the machines, and there have been prosecutions about it. So it can be done. But essentially, you insert the memory card preloaded, and then even if you have a paper trail, we've been talking a lot about we want paper trails. In Utah, where I vote, they have paper trails. And you take this paper receipt that's printed out, like a little cash registry, and you compare it, and then you press the OK button saying that your paper receipt matches what the electronic voting machine has given you. But this hack shows that even that can be subverted, because the hacking doesn't occur until the totals are withdrawn. Every single voter can compare his receipt and certify that the machine is recording what he was and press the button to say okay, and yet the total can still come out different, because the manipulation of the total doesn't occur until after all the votes are cast.
Okay, well, I'm certain there are lots of ways that, to do this, and of course, this is why we cannot trust the electronic voting machines.
That's right. I really don't think that you can. I mean, even with hand counting, there are ways to manipulate those votes, and they've been doing it for decades, Dr. Stan. They preload ballot boxes with ballots that have already been cast, so they can load them up, and that they can, in districts, for example, where you have a high percentage of voting for someone you don't like, they can lose ballots and have them destroyed in many other ways. But they're a grosser type of thing that's easier to charge, and it involves corrupting people. The machines have the way of doing it to keep people from finding out, and are much easier to conceal. Now, let's talk about the percentage difference problem. This is something I have much less confidence in these charges about voter manipulation. The Boston Globe pointed out the contract for programming of all the Diebold voting machines, which accounts for 81% of all the votes yesterday, is owned by LHS Associates, whose owner John Silvestro has gone to great lengths to deflect accusations that machines can be easily rigged. Well, he is right that they can't be rigged from outside his company, but he's absolutely wrong that they can't be rigged from inside the company, and I've covered that, how they do that. But the bigger problem is the fact that there are many claims here. Let me see if I can find an appropriate quote. Well, for example, Barack Obama was showing in polls 13 percentage points above
Hillary
Clinton, and he ended up losing by 2 percentage points. So there's a change of 15 percentage points. Now, that's a very, very big change.
What about the exit polls? What did they show?
Well, the exit polls were actually showing what the actual results occurred. So this really seems to be a difference between the inaccuracy of polling before the election and after the election. Let me talk about the percentage differences. For example, they show that there is an average of some 7% difference in results, depending on the candidate, of course. It was 3 or 4% difference for Ron Paul between urban voters giving him less votes versus urban or rural voters, which were giving him as high as 13% of the vote. But this fails to take into consideration the fact that there is always a fairly large disparity between urban voters and rural voters. Urban voters generally being more liberal, rural voters being more conservative, and secondly, that urban voters also are more susceptible to the influence of candidates who come to town, to their town, and shake hands and talk to people, and so their candidacy is improved. So, to me, it really isn't surprising that Mitt Romney's numbers were higher in the urban areas than in the rural areas, which are more susceptible to being to the media manipulation, which I spent a lot of time analyzing today. And likewise, of course, both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were there in urban areas. But what seems to be a major factor in the polling results is the fact that you've got open primaries in New Hampshire. You have actually more independents in New Hampshire than you have Democrats and Republicans, and so they simply can sway the election. Now, even though they are part of the polling regime, they poll people who are independents as well. One of the very interesting commentaries I heard was, of course, this claim that the independents were going to go for Barack Obama. And that's probably true that many of them did want that. But trying to verify that, one of the commentators seemed to be very, very honest. I heard on the Diane Rehm show said that she went out after the election to talk to people who were in exit polling, trying to look for independents, in fact, who had voted for Barack Obama, and she couldn't find any in this particular polling place where she was interviewing everybody who came out. Democrats who'd voted for Barack, she couldn't find one independent who had voted for Barack Obama. She did find several who voted for McCain, I mean, in a fairly large percentage, and she asked them why they had voted for McCain, even though they were leaning, they said, before to Barack Obama, and they said this, well, because of the media, it was appearing to them that Barack Obama was going to be a shoe-in. They didn't want Hillary Clinton. So they didn't have to vote for Barack Obama. They decided, we want to kill Romney, because there's a big Kill Romney campaign going on in New Hampshire, started by one of the major liberal newspapers who not only did not do an endorsement, did an anti-endorsement, said, the only thing we want to make sure is that New Hampshirers don't vote for Romney. And so they decided, several of these independents decided, they would use their vote to defeat Romney by voting for McCain rather than voting for Obama. That phenomenon, if true, now this reporter was only able to do this one particular city precinct, but if that type of analysis affected people, that they felt that Obama was a shoo-in so they could throw their vote to the other side of the party, to the other side of the campaign to distort it, would indicate both why Obama lost votes and why McCain gained so many votes. Interesting.
And really very interesting, yes. I'd never heard that before.
But so this is one of the problems with an open primary, where you have people, a large percentage of people in New Hampshire, who are capable of being manipulated and then going and swaying the election one way or the other. Let me talk a little bit about the media manipulation, because I think that this explains a great deal of what happened.
All right, fine. And of course, we do know that just immediately before the election, when McCain's Sydney candidacy was just about dead, six major newspapers came forward and endorsed John McCain. And that suddenly brought his campaign back to life. Other than that, there was no support from the general population for John McCain. But with those six newspapers really pumping him, doing everything they could to make him look like a viable candidate, why, they were able actually, I think in large part, to get him nominated, even though the people didn't necessarily want him, but they got him nominated there in New Hampshire. All right, go ahead, Joel. Joel was just talking about how the media was able to manipulate the people, and of course there was certainly one reporter who talked to a number of several independents who said that they really, of course, wanted to vote for Obama, but since everything pointed to the fact that Obama was going to get the election, and they wanted to block Romney from getting the Republican nomination, instead of voting for Obama as they would have, because they were sure he was going to win, they switched their vote to McCain to defeat Romney. And that's a very interesting thought, Joe. Pick up the story.
Let me comment about the endorsements for McCain. It's not so much that it was an anomaly to have six newspapers endorse McCain. It was the fact that they were the only six newspapers who came out with an endorsement, and they all went for McCain. Now, you would think that you would have a lot more newspapers come out with endorsements. They declined to do so. But they picked six, some of them very significant, including the Des Moines Register, to make sure that the Iowa thing went to so that he could go into New Hampshire already having a comeback victory. This did, I believe, have a major impact upon the voting of independents and Republicans in New Hampshire. But it's interesting that in the days leading up to the New Hampshire primary, of course, there was the big hoopla about Huckabee's win and McCain's win. Or Huckabee's win, and I guess McCain came in, was it second in Iowa?
No, he was, I think he was down lower than that, but I'm not certain.
No, that's right, Romney would have been second. Romney got second in both Iowa and New Hampshire, so McCain was third there. But he had already come out from nearly zero to a third-place finish, and then he came out and won New Hampshire. But Huckabee's rise, this is probably the only win we're going to see out of Huckabee. Well, perhaps one of the southern primaries, but even that, I'm not sure. He doesn't have any strength except in areas where you have the evangelical Christian community is very high in the Republican numbers, which is mostly the southern states and a few of the Midwest. But in any case, I personally don't think that the establishment is going to give Huckabee much more, since he placed, they talked about him winning a third place finish, but it was really only 11%. Giuliani was 9% and Ron Paul was 8%. What they were really aiming for, in my opinion, in the boost, the false media boost for Huckabee, was to kill or make sure that Ron Paul didn't breach the 10% mark in New Hampshire. He would have gotten delegates if he had done so. Most states have a ceiling or a base limit on delegates. You don't get any delegates at all, and they accrue to the winners if you don't breach the 10% view. And I think they wanted to keep Ron Paul below that. So the boost for Huckabee not only gave him a real leg up in New Hampshire, revitalized his campaign, but allow him to go from about 4% in New Hampshire up to 11%. And probably, I really think that if there was machine vote fraud, it was preloading it with negative votes to Ron Paul to keep him from breaching that 10%. I think that it really would have been devastating to the Giuliani campaign had Ron Paul beat him in New Hampshire. So they probably tweaked Giuliani upward and tweaked Ron Paul downward. But what was interesting is the degree.
Hold that thought. We want to bring our stations on. All right, Dr. Stan here, and of course, Joel is speculating that perhaps, if they did tweak the machines at all, they increased the votes for Giuliani and cut back on the votes for Ron Paul, because they didn't want him to get to 10%, because that would, of course, have given him some delegates. So if they did, and we don't know for certain what happened, but we do know that they have the ability to alter these electronic voting machines, and they're certainly not above doing that. So pick the story up there.
I think that media manipulation is largely responsible for the victory of both Hillary Clinton and McCain. And you might say, how could it be that Hillary could have won over Obama when Obama was getting such positive press going into this? Well, there was a couple of things. I happened to watch a great deal of the coverage on the day before the election, and it was one parade after another of pro-Hillary people, from Carl Bernstein, who's wrote, this guy is a real insider. This is a real conspirator. And he comes out with a book just lavish in its praise of Hillary Clinton. He was on every single talk show. He was on Fox. He was on CNN. He was on ABC, NBC. Everywhere he was going, he was pushing Hillary Clinton and her humanity, her femininity, and they were showing, and they were discussing ad nauseum the tearing up at the little cafe, and then in the debate saying, oh, I'm offended, and playing, it was a very slick media ploy by advisors to play this feminist role before. And I think it really had an effect. You have a lot of soft-headed voters, soft-hearted voters, more politically correct, who are susceptible to this kind of manipulation of emotions. And that combined with the lack of Obama support from the independents, perhaps switching over to McCain out of this almost irrational defeat Romney campaign, which doesn't really seem to be shared by the people except for evangelical Christians who have a knee-jerk anti-Mormon reaction, which has been played up very strongly in this campaign. But general people don't see that in Romney. Why is all the hate there? He's got very establishment views. He's very personable. He's very likable. Isn't that much different than the, in the positions of McCain or even Giuliani that should merit that much hate? There seems to be an establishment hate machine built up for Romney, and I've taken considerable time in the brief to analyze why that is occurring. And part of the reason is, probably the majority of the reason is simply that Romney is an outsider. He's someone who's in the campaign not because anybody in the establishment decided to promote him. He wasn't the anointed on any list. Simply put himself in the ring with his own money. And he has sufficient charisma and background because of being a former governor and saving the Olympics in Utah that he was able to get a leg up, which they didn't intend. They have attempted, in my opinion, to subvert his candidacy by surrounding him, or at least offering, he actually has surrounded himself with mainstream globalist type advisors. And that's because he's a can-do I know how to win businessmen. And, you know, if you go ask the Republican people, how do I win? They say, well, you got to hire these advisors and these, and you've got to apply this particular political line. So he's done that. But he isn't a knowing insider. He's an outsider. That doesn't mean he's on our side. I'm not for Mitt Romney. But he's not an insider. And these people are deathly afraid that if you get somebody as smart, as intellectually tough as Romney is, and he sees something as president, he may not be able to be manipulated. Now, it's very similar to what happened to Ronald Reagan. The establishment has very clearly admitted they did not want Ronald Reagan to win the election. Even though they had successfully manipulated him as governor of California, he made many, many unwise compromises in his conservative ideals there in California to get ahead and stay elected. They still knew that this wasn't one of them, and they tried to block his nomination, and they failed. So they had to manipulate him. Romney, being much more intellectually rigorous, could not be as well manipulated as a figure if he makes the presidency. I think this is the thing that really is explaining their hate Romney campaign and what they're attempting to do.
I know I got a letter today that was really just the whole idea was we've just got to stop Romney, coming from a minister supposedly because of his Mormon beliefs. And, you know, I haven't seen anything like that in many years where a man is being attacked because of his religion, running for political office. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I think it's unfortunate, Dr. Stan, that there is this virulent anti-Mormon sentiment among many Christians, and really we should have a higher tolerance for sincerely held beliefs, especially when, you know, there's been so much debunking of the type of, irrational, almost, claims about some of the anti-Mormon sites, about the wild claims they have about the evil within the church. You know, as a Mormon, I take great umbrage of that. Even though I have been critical of my own church on certain issues, I've certainly been on the inside long enough to know that the kind of charges that have been aired are just plain wrong, and it's very, very sad to see good people. But most of my friends, frankly, are evangelical Christians, and they know and trust my commitment to Christ. And but you know, some of these anti-Mormon websites really just are way, way over the mark, and I just really hate to see that, because it divides the movement. When most people who know Mormons realize, gee, they're mostly mild-mannered people, likable people, and they don't have the kind of evil agenda that people are accusing them of. So people who know a lot of Mormons do tend to discount some of these things. But it really is virulent. It's surprising to me how much it raises its head. And I know you've run into it. I guess you've even received criticism for having me on your show sometimes.
Well, I don't worry too much about that. I do what I think is right, and I really enjoy having you as a guest.
Well, you know, people need to look at people's actions, what they do, rather than what they say. And I think people who are true to liberty and the Constitution can be judged by their actions, as opposed to the rhetoric which you get from these politicians who can't be trusted.
Amen.
But I'm very concerned about the lack of thinking ability of the voters in New Hampshire. You know, much of them are touted as their independents, but I don't see much in terms of reliability of a good judgment. When I looked at some of the detailed analysis from the exit polls, it's amazing how, when you look at the John McCain supporters, you will see that there's a great disconnect between the things that people claim they're for and against, and they're voting for John McCain. And I gave several examples in this week's brief, which are telling.
Well, we'll look forward to getting it.
Well, one of those is that...
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with the other stations on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief, and if they wanted to subscribe, how they'd do that.
Well, the World Affairs Brief is available for analysis on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And people can get a sample edition of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And I'll be happy to send the current edition that we're talking about to people. One of the things that I'm really concentrating on this brief, of course, is an in-depth analysis of the election and how people can be manipulated. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about my evidence, I think, of sloppy perception and contradictory reasoning among voters in New Hampshire. Incredibly, you know, John the Surge McCain got a large percentage of votes from those who opposed the war. Now, McCain is the biggest supporter of the war of all of the Republican candidates. Even more amazingly, he got a majority of his votes from those who don't like Bush. Now, even though McCain is a solid supporter of President Bush, I mean, where, Dr. Stan, did they get this that John McCain is different than President Bush?
I haven't the slightest idea.
You know, he even got thousands of votes from people who were against illegal immigration, and President Bush, his amnesty proposals, they are virulently against it, and McCain has always supported both. I mean, what were these people thinking?
Well, they just weren't thinking. I think there's an awful lot of people who have a knee-jerk reaction.
And he even got a lot of votes from people who support abortion, even though McCain claims to be pro-life. Now, you and I both know that McCain is probably only doing that to provide token lip service towards pro-life. In practice, he always says he opposes the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But, you know, if these voters had even a pittance of rational analysis, they would have selected Ron Paul. He's the only candidate who is consistently pro-life, anti-war, anti-Bush, anti-New World Order, and anti-North American Union, and anti-deficit spending. And he has the votes in Congress to prove that it's not just rhetoric. So why then did they not vote for someone eminently qualified that matches their major positions on these issues? I find it hard to believe that they don't know Ron Paul, even with the media blackout. I mean, Ron Paul has got a lot of advertising and radio and television out in New Hampshire. Perhaps they were swayed by the propaganda that Ron Paul can't win. This is kind of a self-fulfilling media statement. When Paul is denied coverage and the media keeps saying, well, he can't win, people tend to write that off and switch their mind to someone within their general political viewpoint, whether liberal or conservative, that does match, that can win. People, conservatives are extremely susceptible to this argument. Somebody can't win, so you've got to pick somebody, even though he's the lesser of two evils, that can win. And so immediately they switch to Romney versus McCain, or Giuliani, and a lot of conservatives don't like Giuliani, so they're picking between Romney and McCain, and then they get all this hate Romney opinion flying around, and they say, well, McCain, and they talk themselves into, I think, the fact that because McCain has differed from Bush, that he's anti-Bush, or that he has a little bit different appearances on the war, or some criticisms that he's anti-war. I think they simply deceive themselves into making unwise choices.
All right, I won't disagree with you there at all. There certainly has to be a logical explanation for why McCain came up with as many votes as he did. And I was really surprised. In fact, I really thought that Romney would win and McCain would be second or third.
You know, I found that voters really aren't driven by what's real or true as much as they are by emotion and incorrect perceptions. You know, some of these voters voted for McCain because they still perceived him as a competitor to Bush, because in the 2004 primary he ran against Bush and won. So some of these may be holding over. That's bad thinking. That's equally bad perception. If you hold over an incorrect former perception to a present-day situation. Had they been following only even the establishment news this past year, they would have remembered that Cain was and still is in lockstep with George Bush. Now, we do have to remember, too, that McCain appeared to be opposing George Bush on the issue of torture. He championed this bill against torture. And then, of course, we know that was he was a false champion of the issue because he was the one who said, oh, yes, we've got a compromise now, and we can. This really does prohibit the government from torture. It didn't do anything at all. It had big loopholes, and the president came out for it, and McCain came out for it, and McCain was at the signing, and it was just a sellout of the cause. And that's the same kind of thing that McCain has been guilty of relative to the POW-MIA issue. He's noted as a war hero because he was a POW. Therefore, it's assumed that he is, you know, would be in favor of finding all the POWs and MIAs, and yet he consistently defends the government's secrecy about burying these files and not opening the files on missing POWs and MIAs still that were never recovered from South Vietnam, and he continues to stonewall and not use his name to get the government to open the secrecy of those files. He has undermined every investigation, just like John Kerry did. They were on the committee together to undermine the investigation into the POW-MIA issue. There is also the hypocritical but not unexpected fact that the media has not picked up on what I call the swift boat type of attacks on McCain that are swarming the Internet. The media is obviously protecting McCain's phony war hero reputation from the attacks from his fellow veterans and POWs who charged that McCain was collaborating with the enemy in prison and refusing to support, you know, the government's, breaking the government's veil of secrecy on these abandoned POWs. As your listeners will remember, in the 2004 election, the veteran swift boat people attacked John Kerry's claims to heroism in the war with devastating effect, of course, thanks to the media making it a huge issue. In a contrary manner, they're not giving voice to McCain's detractors, I think because he's one of them. And the media has promoted the attack on Kerry because the establishment had ordained Bush to win and needed to undermine the appeal of the Democratic nominee for president so that they could get Bush elected. So it's interesting how we're watching before our very eyes, if you look closely, a very careful media manipulation of this election. But even though McCain is being positioned as the new front runner, don't count Rudy Giuliani out just yet. You know, this former Man of the Year for Time, because he was, I think they made him Man of the Year because he is an insider. He was complicit in the 9/11 cover-up in New York. There's an increasing knowledge by the public about his links to corruption. So he may not be able to get the nomination. McCain is being pushed forward, I think, for now as insurance in case Giuliani's not able to pull out a major victory in Florida and Super Tuesday. If Giuliani fails to win in those primaries, he will not survive the cut. And they want McCain to inherit the front-runner status rather than Romney. And that's why I think the media has been so virulent in its attacking on Romney during this campaign. In that day that I was hearing all of this pro-Hillary stuff, that's why I'm saying that impacted, I think, a lot of voters in the Obama versus Hillary, is the media was uniformly putting on pro-Hillary garbage the day before to try to boost her chances so she was not knocked out. If she had lost twice to Obama, she might well not have been able to recover, but I think they were able to turn that completely around. But, you know, Romney's, the hatred the media has toward Romney is just not explicable in the sense that his positions are in total alignment with the Bush administration, which they give a pass on all these issues. Clearly, he's not an insider like Giuliani and McCain, as I explained. But, you know, it's amazing what they picked up on. In the days leading up, they kept up a barrage of negative comments about Romney and only about Romney. they simply avoided attacking Ron Paul, even though it's interesting on the CNN website where Anderson Cooper was giving his commentary, it was just one solid wall of Ron Paul signs behind him the entire 6 or 8 hours before the New Hampshire primary. But they simply ignored them. They didn't mention anything about the Ron Paul signs. I think the people noticed. But when they showcased one of the Romney TV ads, the commentator said, but the public isn't buying it. Well, really? How does he know? You know, somebody certainly is. American opinion is all over the map, implying that everyone is rejecting a well-crafted professional media ad is simply ludicrous and blatantly pejorative. Various commentators mentioned how the voters hate Romney. At least 3 times I heard that. What do you mean, only Romney they hate? How about those that hate Giuliani? How about those that hate McCain? Surely there's some of those too, but not a mention. You see, that's prejudicial coverage. And I'm not saying this because I'm a Romney fan. I'm saying this because I'm reporting what I think is blatant media bias to further an anti-endorsement campaign of anybody but Romney. And I think that's because the media doesn't fear Ron Paul. They don't fear Huckabee. In fact, I think they're going to dispose of Huckabee as soon as they don't need him to undermine the candidacy of Ron Paul anymore, or Romney. But this Romney really worries them because he's not going away, even if he keeps losing, because he's got his own money to stay in the race. I think that what they're really afraid of is Ron Paul, with Romney, with all his charisma, getting up and giving a powerful convention speech that combined with normal, let me put it this way, conservatives in their heart don't trust Giuliani and McCain. And that's what the establishment is deathly afraid of, is that if it's a contest between Giuliani, McCain, and Romney, a good deal of the conservatives are going to overcome their anti-Mormon bias and say, look, better have Romney than a Giuliani, who we suspect is really corrupt, and McCain, who has always gone the wrong way and has never really voted for pro-life. I think that they're afraid of that kind of matchup. They would rather have a Giuliani-McCain versus a weakened Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee is easy to dismiss. He's easy to turn all of the mainstream Republicans who don't want a strong religious conservative to be president. They don't want another Jimmy Carter in there on the Republican side. It would be very easy for them to push a McCain or a Giuliani and have them defeat Mike Huckabee. They'd have a real battle on their hands versus Mitt Romney with his money and likability. So that's what I think the issue is really boiling down to.
Okay, fine. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens now with the other primaries coming up. And then, of course, Super Tuesday will be early February.
You know, there's some interesting things coming about Obama and his background. I had not realized that they have, and it's circulating the Internet fairly strongly now, actual pictures of him with the other candidates at a rally, and they're all got their hand on their heart doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and he doesn't. And he doesn't even mouth the words. And, there's something going on there. Now, I take objection to the part of the Pledge of Allegiance about indivisible, because I don't believe in the power of the government to not allow for anyone to leave. Our whole Declaration of Independence is about the fact that if tyranny becomes so bad, you have the right to secede, and you break away from it. That's what it is all about. So I do not believe in the Civil War insertion of that dictum of indivisibility in there. But my objection to that is nowhere near what I think Barack Obama is. I think his Muslim background and allegiance is stronger than what we think. And it's being underplayed by the press. But I think it is some cause for concern there that he would openly, in front of thousands of people, simply not go through and repeat any portion of the Pledge of Allegiance.
I think that is something we should all be concerned about.
So So, and it very is clear. I got some information that's coming out on the brief on the amount of establishment advisors behind each of these candidates, and it's very, very dangerous. The biggest one is, biggest two are Hillary Clinton and John McCain. John McCain's list of advisors on this, you know, runs the whole gamut from Henry Kissinger, Richard Armitage, William Crystal, George Shultz, Brent Scowcroft, James Woolsey, Lawrence Eagleburger, William Ball, Colin Powell. I mean, these people are all deep inside the establishment.
All members of the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations.
That's correct. Barack Obama has the other side of that. You know, they kind of have Team A and Team B. They're all part of the same group. But they're kind of taking sides to make sure that each candidate stays within the ballpark. Barack Obama is the big new Brzezinski. You know, these people who have been NSA or National Security Advisors to presidents are their handlers. Anthony Lake, very bad one. Sarah Sewell, Richard Clark, Susan Rice. These people are members of the Brookings Institution. Hillary Clinton has, of course, the Clinton team, Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, Leslie Gelb, Martin Indyk, Richard Holbrook, Strobe Talbot. Strobe Talbot's one of the most evil men, in my opinion, ever been a handler for a president. Just an incredible list of bad people. Mike Huckabee is surprisingly reluctant to reveal who his advisors are. The only ones that we really know of for sure are Ed Rollins, Republican political hack, who was sent in, by the way, just and joined his team just as he was starting to get the push from the media. Which I think is indicative of the fact that they send in the big boys to help him out when they wanted to push him. They'll withdraw that support when they don't need him anymore. Also has Frank Gaffney on board. He's an arch neocon at the CFR. Romney's only really big, worrisome advisor is Kofor Black, and he's as evil as can be. Former CIA and George W. Bush State Department counterterrorism officer, vice president of Blackwater. So there's some real problems in this group.
Well, I think that certainly they all have certainly advisors that come from the establishment, the CFR, and they're all globalists, and certainly the only person who doesn't fit into that category is Ron Paul. And certainly, but the average American doesn't understand that. They don't understand the significance of the CFR. You know, that it was formed back in 1921 is specifically to bring about world government. And, of course, and this new world order, new world religion, certainly new world leader. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest today has been Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And be sure to go to World Affairs Brief on the Internet every day. Keep abreast of the important things that are happening in America. Go right ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, what I'd like to wrap up with is my assessment of the Ron Paul campaign and possibilities at this stage. I think it was very disappointing to his supporters that he wasn't able to break the 10% margin. And frankly, I do suspect, based upon the evidence right now, that there was some manipulation of the vote to keep him below that threshold. But even if he had broken the 10% threshold, which he rightly should have, I think that's about the limits of what we're dealing with based upon my experience for over almost 40 years now in the conservative movement. I did extensive polling when I was working with Richard Viguerie as executive editor of Conservative Digest back in Washington, D.C. during the Reagan administration on how many generic conservatives, Republican conservatives, would be willing to take a hard, principled, constitutional stand to stopping the compromises of the Reagan administration. And we had less than 5% of conservatives on our list who were willing to take a hardcore stand. Now, that was, a pretty good list in those days. Richard Viguerie was the chief of fundraising for the conservative movement and still is active in the movement to this day. Let's look at Ron Paul's numbers. He got 10%, let's say he gets an average of 10% between Iowa and Hampshire. That represents, even if half of the country were Republican, that would represent only 5 of the nation. Actually, since only about 60% of people vote, that really represents only about 2% of the nation. Now, 2% is a fair number of, quantity, or a few million people. But as a percentage of the whole, I'm afraid it is indicative of our limitations in what we're dealing with. As I've always warned, is that we really don't have the numbers to deal with a majoritarian system, which we get, which winner take all. If you don't make the majority, you don't get any representation at all, and I think that's what we're dealing with. So even though we cannot stop the fight, as you have often said, we have to keep pushing on. I think we have to realize that our numbers, the numbers of principled thinking people, are limited in this nation, and we're going to have to develop a strategy to survive amid a sea of majoritarian people who are taking us more and more towards globalism, socialism, and benefit corruption.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I think this is going to be probably one of the most exciting years of our lives. We're out of time, Joel. God bless, and thanks so very much for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to help us so we can keep on the shortwave. And we've had to drop 1 hour in the evening, but at least we're back on shortwave now. But to maintain our satellite, to maintain our internet coverage, to maintain our network on radio, and we do have an outreach, probably. We are on more stations than most of the other conservative, but a lot of them just were on half an hour a week, but at least we're there. And we have an opportunity, almost 60 outlets a week, to reach people all across America. And I personally believe that radio is the last way we're going to reach people. And once people hear the truth, they may start out being a little, a little questionable, but after a while they begin to recognize it, and hopefully one day they will come to understand the true spiritual nature of the battle we're involved in, and then join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. But our job is to do our best and to continue trying. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there, if you really would like to understand the true nature of the battle, if you've never seen the videos, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, or The Riddles in Stone, and I'm in both of those. They're very professionally done. They were done by Chris Pinto. But they're award-winning documentary films that give you the background of the secret societies that shape the world we live in today. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, secret societies. There have been secret societies around since the beginning of time, and they're still here to this very day. And, of course, they are moving us towards this idea of a world government. That has been the common denominator behind everything for literally hundreds of years, although most people haven't recognized it. But time and again down through the ages, people have tried to bring about a world government, but never before have they had the ability that they have today to make this become a reality. So certainly you need to hear what we talk about on my DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book and the DVD. My talk on the forbidden secret, vitally important, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years, and you need to know what it is. The four-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, or you can get that in, with CDs as well. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will seriously consider getting the DVD, The Atlantis Connection, a talk by Chris Pinto, who actually produced The Secret Mysteries and the Riddles in Stone DVDs. But of course, Chris is talking about this age-old plan where America would become the new Atlantis. It's vitally important you understand that, because it's the key to understanding why we're fighting in the Middle East today. We're certainly not necessarily fighting for oil or democracy or Israel or for our currency. It is all part of this move where America is creating an empire, and that empire will eventually become the new world government. That's why we have troops in 130 nations in the world today. We are moving towards an empire. It's all part of the Atlantis connection. And then Constance Covey's wonderful DVD, The Emergence. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set of interviews with Constance Covey, who will bring you up to date on the occult movement, the movement of secret societies in the world today. And then, of course, the four-tape set on Satanism and Deliverance, on the supernatural, and of course, then on the satanic crimes. And there's a book that goes with that. And then we've got a great new four-tape set on the Bilderbergers, and we've got a book on the Bilderbergers, and you need to understand the influence of this organization. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and for our ministers.